Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. Pastor Robert Thibodeau here. Another session of Kingdom Crossroads Podcast. We're so blessed that you're joining us today. You know, with all of the racial problems and all the turmoil and all the major metropolitan cities developing in the basically jungles of hate, crime, and murders, people are asking, what in the world is going on? Well, almost all of the turmoil we see in the news every night and the streets we drive down can be attributed to one major concept, and that's basically the politicians in America have left their calling to serve Christ first and sold their souls to the devil in exchange for power. As boiled down into its basic elements, that's it. Well, my guest today has been on the front lines of calling out corrupt political stunts that have had adverse effects on society. He was the lone voice initially speaking out against the illegal executive orders mandating that everyone had to wear masks, stop attending church services, and limiting the freedom of assembly, and basically keeping people under house arrest and destroying the small businesses in America. He was the first pastor in the nation to do so, and you could say he took a little bit of heat from peers and foes alike. Steve Castle is the founder of Steve Castle Ministries, senior pastor at Beloved Church located in Lena, Illinois. Steve and his wife Kay and I attended Bible school at the same time back in the late 1990s at JSMI Bible Institute, School of World Evangelism, under the teaching of Dr. Jerry Savelle. And I've had Steve on a few times over the past couple of years. I always look forward to catching up and do his Holy Spirit-inspired interviews. Amen. Steve is also a broadcaster on Evangelism Radio, and his program can be heard Monday through Sunday, 3 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time at evangelismradio.com. Help me welcome back to the program my good friend, Pastor Steve Castle. Steve, thank you for coming back on and joining us today.
Man, that is quite an introduction. I almost want to know me after that.
Amen. It is all true. You know? Let's start by catching up, everyone. And for those who missed our interview back in the height of the 2020 shutdowns, what was going on back then, you filed the first lawsuit in the nation against the lockdowns, et cetera, as I described. And when you first started down that path, you were basically, as we talked before the recording, David walking out in front of the Israelites to confront Goliath. You know, they were all hiding behind their closed church doors telling you don't go out there and confront the giant. But what was that battle like, and when did the tide begin to change?
It was actually, I never actually thought about that analogy as it relates to what I did. But as I'm reflecting that analogy in my mind right now, and my memory of the scriptures, I remember David basically had one vitriolic voice, which was just his big brother saying, "Ah, that stupid younger brother coming out here acting a fool." Man, I wish I would have had just one lone voice that was messing with me. We got we had probably got thousands of messages, emails, phone calls, almost all of them from Christians and pastors that called me everything from Jim Jones to a satanic leader to a super spreader to one of the most vile people to why don't you love, you're a terrible shepherd. I mean, it was nonstop. So if I just would have had one lone voice like David, I probably would have been all right.
Amen. But I mean, you were blasted all over the news, and soon one by one other pastors started picking up the mantle with you.
Yeah, it was I'm actually super, super honored and humbled by the fact that the Father allowed me to have that unique place in time that was able to go out and work against the very, very effective narrative that was taking place in our nation. They had convinced everyone, even us Bible believing, healing believing preachers, they'd convinced everyone that this is it. Like everybody's going to die. They're going to kill the whole world. Which was kind of funny because one of the first sermons that I did right after they launched their pandemic narrative was I went through the statistics about, you know, in 1980, we were all going to die from AIDS. And in 1982, we were all going to die from MERS. And, it was just over and over and over. It's like every year or two, they released the next thing that was going to kill everybody. We were all going to die in Y2K. And I just laid out for the church, like, hey, this is just another narrative in a long line of narratives that are trying to get people out of faith. But the difference was this one worked. This one worked really well. And still to this day, I can name you to this day, Word of Faith pastors who still have their churches shut down to this day.
Wow.
Large Word of, if I name their names, you'd say, there's no way. And I'm telling you, I know for a fact because people are coming to my church from their churches. And they're saying, Pastor, why is so-and-so not open? And I'm like, I can't speak to why somebody else does what they do. But I can tell you that what the Lord specifically told us to do, the best analogy that I have is that we were commanded, the disciples were commanded by God to heal the leper, to cleanse the leper. They were commanded by God. Now, let's talk about a pandemic, brother. Biblical leprosy.
It was
100% communicable.
Yep.
It had a 100% mortality rate. And you, if you came anywhere near it, not only did it carry with it the physical ailments, but it also carried with it the shame of being insinuated a terrible sinner, a wicked person. I mean, it was the pandemic of all pandemics.
Yeah.
And Jesus literally commanded his people to go into that pandemic and deal with it.
Yep.
And now we have pastors. We have, man, I'll tell you what, some of these guys, obviously their voice is a million times stronger and larger than mine, but we have pastors all over the nation that are commanding their people to stay away. Antichrist. It's literally Antichrist. Yeah. And so the fact that the Lord allowed me the opportunity to go out there and to verbally and nationally bring up the deception of the narrative that was able to rattle a few other people, I'm super humbled by that. Super humbled by that. The thing for me is that when I got the revelation of the finished work of the cross, that by his stripes we are healed, that sin, sickness, disease, poverty, lack, oppression, depression, all of that was dealt with by the atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. When I got that revelation, it was an actual revelation for me. Like it changed everything for me. Everything. And so when this thing came down, I'm like, this changes nothing for Beloved Church, because I've been teaching our people for almost 10 years. On the finished work of the cross, walking in divine health, walking in prosperity, walking in peace and joy and the power of the Spirit of God, and the authority of the name. And so it changed nothing for me. But I realized how much it changed for a bunch of other people.
Yeah.
What we found out, especially you and I, Robert, is that we found out that there was a lot of folks that were preaching something they didn't necessarily have a revelation of.
Exactly.
They were professing something they did not possess.
Yep.
I honestly believe that this is part of God's plan in this day and in this time, is to separate the wheat from the chaff, the goats from the sheep, and for him to bring out a pure, spotless, wrinkleless bride that the world is going to recognize the beauty of. And I am super, super humbled to count myself and Beloved Church and the folks that are partnered with me at Steve Castle Ministries. I'm super blessed and honored to be able to say that I believe that we are counted among the remnant, that we are part of the beautification of the bride, and we are going to see, man, the future. Woo, brother.
Amen. Well, you remember when this thing first happened.
Just a little Beloved Church, we've seen some powerful stuff.
My wife and I, as soon as they came out with this stuff, we started praying, ain't no virus have any authority to get on our body. We start confessing that not just on a daily basis, but, you know, in our morning prayers, our evening prayers, we start, you know, this virus has no authority to come anywhere near us or any member of our family, you know, and we just put that hedge of protection in place. And right after they announced that initial shutdown, remember, we did that online revival, right?
Yes, sir.
Yep. For such a time as this, you know, and that thing was listened to all over the world. Dang. And, you know, we were proclaiming Jesus already defeated this thing. What are y'all worried about? You know, and oh, man, I got Holy Ghost bumps just talking about it again. Amen.
You realize how many believers are not in Christ?
Yeah.
You know, John talked about this, and I mentioned this a little bit on my message yesterday, but in John chapter 3, if you remember when Jesus had the famous meeting with Nicodemus, he said two things that I don't think that many people picked up on. He said that you must be born again to see the kingdom. But then later on, he talks about how the Spirit of God moving in you blows, you know, like a wind, and you don't know where it comes from. And then he contributes the Spirit of God being in and blowing through and with a person to being in the kingdom. Mm-hmm. So he annotates at the beginning, to see the kingdom, you must be born again. But to actually be in the kingdom, you need to be filled with and following after the blowing of the Holy Spirit. And I don't think a lot of people understand that there's a difference between being born again and seeing the kingdom, mm-hmm. knowing that it exists, and then actually entering into and experiencing the benefits of the kingdom. I'm telling you, I've been in Christianity, I realize that there is a big difference between people that say they know what they believe, mm-hmm. and people who are actually experiencing what they believe, and they don't have to say it. And that's exactly what James was talking about. He said, you can tell me about your faith. He said, I'm going to show you my faith. Mm-hmm. And there's a big difference in the body of Christ between people that can tell you what the Bible says and people who are literally experiencing it. I mean, we are experiencing this so much that not that long ago, I think it was maybe eight or 10 weeks ago, we had a fellow die in our service. Mm. I mean, rudest thing anybody ever did in any of my church services ever. The guy died in our church service, and we just raised him from the dead.
Praise the Lord.
And the guy ended up, because we had another meeting after church, another something I couldn't record, things I wanted to talk about that I couldn't record so I wouldn't lose my YouTube channel. And so we had another meeting after church that went 3 hours. Wow. And this guy died at like 10 o'clock that morning in the service. We raised him from the dead, and he stayed all the way through until 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Nothing happened.
Amen.
Died, raised him from the dead, and he stayed for 2 extra church services. It was just, but this should be normal, regular, run of the mill disciple activity for people who are called after the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, and there's just a lot of folks that aren't living that way.
Amen. You know, I'll see, you know, fellow pastors or, you know, people that, you know, I'm familiar with anyway, and maybe at the grocery store or something like that. And, you know, you make your query, go, hey, how you doing? You know, what's been going on? And if they say something along the lines of, well, I got this and this going on, you need to pray for me because blah, blah. I said, okay, let's pray. And I, boom, you know, I nail them right there. And they, you're going to pray here? Yeah. I mean, that's what you asked me to do. You know, I mean, it seems like, well, you know, pray for me. And then they want you to go home. And,
oh, I
you
know. Know.
But I'm right there in the middle of the you know, eggs and milk aisle, you know.
Yeah, I would.
And I just, you know, I've been doing that since JSMI.
Yeah, some of those folks would honestly be better off. If I thought about this, and I know this is going to sound just probably offensive, but I've actually thought about walking around with like God scratch off lottery tickets. And when somebody says, hey, pray for me, I just hand them a lottery ticket. Just go home and scratch it, see what happens. You know, maybe you'll win a prayer answered. Maybe you won't. Like that. Nowhere. I literally just preached. I was invited to the Chicagoland Full Gospel Businessmen's, which was a super honor because obviously all of my spiritual fathers and heritage, they would always mm-hmm. talk about back in the day being able to preach with the Full Gospel Businessmen. So it was a huge honor for me. But anyway, they asked me to share about my story and all this stuff. And I'm not going to share about anything without bringing up the finished work of the cross, because everything I do comes from that root. And Amen. So I was doing this, and the meeting went like a half hour longer, and they were like, please don't stop. And I'm like, I got to honor, you know? And so finally I'm like, look, I got to be done. I'm not going to cause any problems. And they were so, I don't know, irritated that I was going to be done, that they're like, will you please stay after? I was literally in the parking lot until after midnight praying for, or not praying. But anyway, one of the things I told them is I'm not going to pray for anybody. And they were all like sucking the air out of the room. I said, I'm not going to pray for any of you. Nowhere in scripture did the Lord ever tell us to pray for the sick. He told us to heal the sick. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I said, I'm not going to pray for any of you. And they finally got it. They're like, I didn't come here to throw up a prayer to the great genie in the sky, hoping that, you know, we get one of our three wishes or not. I am come, you know, when the Lord has released me into the, I'm commanded to heal the sick. Amen. And we've seen, I don't even know the number. Like, well, I can tell you this, everybody that came up to get ministered to received something and manifested it that night. And like I said, I was in the parking lot until, I don't know, it was at least midnight, because I didn't get home until 2:30 or 3 o'clock in the morning. But and this is just lately, like I've been traveling all over the nation lately, and this is exactly it. They want to hear the story about you know, that pastor at that church that fought against the government, which I'm super honored to tell them the story. But eventually what they're going to get is the finished work of the cross. And this happens everywhere we go. We just see people not understanding, like, that's what that really means. Mm-hmm. And I know that most people out there in your audience, Robert, our audience, understand that by his stripes are healed. Mm-hmm. But it has no actual, real, legitimate change in how a person actually lives their life. Mm-hmm. Just like in this pandemic, put your mask on, 6 feet distance, stay, you know, that, well, you know, it's wisdom. Man, if I hear one more person telling me that it's wisdom to do something against the scriptures, I'm going to just slap them and repent. But, you know, just, and you brought up Psalm 91, no plague shall come nigh my dwelling. Wow. Come on, pastor. You just can't take all the stuff in the Bible literal. Like, it's not, you know, there's been things that have gotten into our house, you know, that, you know, it doesn't actually mean like you're not going to be able to be free from a virus. And I'm like, well, what does it mean?
Yeah.
I've actually gotten to that place. I'm like, you tell me what it means.
Yeah.
You know, and if I hear one more person tell me that it's a spiritual healing, can anybody please define for me a spiritual healing? Mm-hmm. Please define how the Spirit of Christ on the inside of me, the Spirit that raised healing. Christ Jesus from the dead, please tell me why the Spirit of Christ on the inside of me needs to be healed.
That's right. Amen. Amen. That's what I tell people. I say, are you going to need healing in heaven? And there's no sickness in heaven. You know, I mean, this, you know, you need healing here.
anything that has to deal with the effects of the fallen aspects of this world, with the effects of the curse, those effects only go skin deep and soul deep. That's mm-hmm. it. Because we have gotten the Spirit, which is from heaven, that helps us cry out, Abba, Father. That Spirit is the actual Spirit of God. It is the third person of God. Amen. And that lives on the inside of me. One third of me on the inside of me. One third of me is fully God. Fully, mm-hmm. completely God.
Amen.
Now, my soul needs to be dealt with by the renewing of my mind, Romans 12, 1 and 2. And my body needs to be dealt with because it still has effects from the fact that it was born of these natural substances. I am still dirt. Yep. The Lord knows our frame, and he knows that we are but dust. And Amen. So there is that. But that doesn't mean that it has to fall apart. Mm-mm. I still have promises from God. Jesus still paid for our physical bodies. He was resurrected in the physical. He took stripes in the physical. He had crown of thorns pressed onto him in the physical. Like, there's a lot of promises and benefits that we still have in our physical body.
Absolutely.
But the world has told us, well, the older you get, the more your stuff's supposed to fall apart. The first thing to go is your eyes. Then the next thing that goes is your hearing. And then you lose your mind. And then eventually you're in a, you know, like, well, tell that to Moses, who climbs a mountain, is still
120
feral
years
old. At 120 years old, and literally just leaves.
Yeah.
You know, tell it to Enoch, who walked with God for 3 years and then just decided to leave. You know, it's over and over in the scriptures where people are like, hey, wait a minute. This is part of the promises of God. The reference you made with David. Hey, wait a minute. Don't we have a covenant?
That's right.
I could literally see him, and I'm kind of a brash guy, so you know, you'll have to forgive me. But I could literally see him like opening up his robe and looking at his circumcision and go, guys, don't we have a covenant?
Like, who is this uncircumcised Philistine?
Yeah. I don't give a rip if he's 9 feet tall or 900 feet tall. I have a circumcision right here that promises me that my God, the God of the whole universe, is going to protect me in things that I do for him. Amen. And this guy is violating the covenant of God. I could literally see him like open up his robe, like, guys, don't we have a promise? Like they have something that we don't have. They had a physical mark, you know, me and you just have the scriptures. But I mean, it's the same way when I open up, you know, 1 Peter 2:24, Matthew 8:17, Isaiah 53:4-5. And Psalms 91 and over and over, when I open those up, that's the scar. Mm-hmm. That's mm-hmm. the scar yeah. for me. That's the circumcision for me. Okay. Yeah. Jesus took stripes for my healing, which means I don't have to be sick.
That's right.
So if something comes and tries to make me sick, that's my Goliath. And so I'm going to take my rocks. I'm going to take the rock, the word of God, Jesus Christ. I'm going to take my rock and I'm going to go chunk it into his forehead.
Amen.
And he's going to fall like every other thing. So when symptoms and diseases come, I just take my rocks and I load my sling. And eventually the enemy has figured out like he doesn't come anywhere near our house because this is I got a whole area in my backyard where I bury the soiled diapers of all the demons that have tried to come to our house and cause problems. They just wet themselves and we kick their tailbones and they go running off to somewhere else.
You heard the story. I heard it when I was first at Bible school. Kenneth Copeland told about, you know, the little demon running out and said, oh, let's go to that house over there. No, stay away from that house. You'll get your head bashed in over
That's
there.
That's right. Don't go to Steve's house. That guy, he's for real. I was just reading a letter from another person who was a guest at our church not that long ago. And they wrote a letter and they're like, man, I don't. And they had like 20 or 30 bullet points about all the stuff they had, and something happened to their car, and then they got sick, and somebody was sitting behind them at work and cursing them, and someone was doing some kind of witchcraft on them, and someone was, and I'm like, man, this person is so aware of Satan that they couldn't find God if he was in the room, like manifested. Mm. And there's a ton of Christians that live that way.
There is.
And God bless these guys that go around the country and sell millions of books and make millions of dollars on spiritual warfare. I mean, man, I'll tell you what, I could be an instant millionaire, if I wanted to. I will write a book on the end times about how terrible it's going to be. And then my second book will be a book on spiritual warfare, because every Christian out there is going to buy a book on the end times and how terrible it's going to be. And then the second book they buy is on spiritual warfare. And how many demons and devils and witchcraft and wizards and seances and Ouija boards have been out to get them. And that's the reason that every time they walk down the stairs, they get a twinge in their ankle. But I mean, it is absolutely idiotic how deceivable the people of the body of Christ are get into spiritual warfare. Not one time did Jesus ever do any spiritual warfare. Not one time did Paul ever do any spiritual warfare. Not one time did Peter do any spiritual warfare. They just went from city to city, preached the gospel, cast out demons, healed the sick, wrecked the place, and then went to the next city.
Yep.
Not one time did they
that's
stop.
That's why I tell people meeting. I can't be a pastor. I'm more of an evangelist. The pastor, I go into town and upset the apple cart and then leave. that's my job. I go in and just say boom, and then everyone else, they'll come to the pastor, how come you don't preach like that?
Well, I at Beloved Church, I burnt the apple cart, so we don't even have to upset it anymore.
Amen.
My people almost egg me on when I get when I start going this way. They're like, come on, pastor. So it's a blessing. It hasn't always been that way.
Hey folks, Pastor Bob here. We're all out of time with today's portion of this amazing interview with a very good longtime friend of mine, Pastor Steve Castle of the Beloved Church in Lena, Illinois. Pastor Steve has been sharing some of the challenges he faced when, as the first pastor in America to file legal challenges to executive orders mandating that churches close, he caught heat from both sides. Other pastors that should have known better, and those who oppose anything that relates to Christianity. You can almost see who has sold their souls to the devil when they just cower in fear and do not know, as Pastor Steve did, their rightful place in kingdom authority. Amen? Well, I've got good news for you too. Praise God. This was just part one of a fabulous three-part interview. So be sure to come back for the next two episodes as we continue our discussion with Pastor Steve Castle on how our freedom and liberty are under attack. Till next time, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do. Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this: your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on Faith-Based Podcast. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.